Do not growing weary while doing good, and for due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. And I kind of built that around this month of our church's 38th anniversary and how many things have gone on and come and gone and come and gone. But, you know, you can look at that in every church around here, that it's an ebb and flow of what goes on in church families and church life and in churches and communities. There's times that they're on a span of everything's like this, and then all of a sudden things happen, and then this drops, and then it goes up. And so many churches in our community that have been around for quite a few years, I'm sure they've experienced similarities. We all do. But I think the thing is that we've got to keep focus and trusting of God, of why God puts his churches in places where he's placed them. And I think many in our church, in our community, there's many of good churches out there, and he's placed them here. And they all have a calling, and they all have a purpose, and God has them there strategically for what that body can minister into those that he sends there. And so, in the actuality of things, and I feel this within our own pastor's group that I get with every week, it's like it might be different denominational things, but if we are all understanding of Jesus Christ died for us and salvation is through Jesus Christ, not through works. Now we have little differences of maybe the little ordinances of this and that, but the cross remains to be what? The cross. And what is the defining factor really that draws us as Christians? And so if we have an understanding that is that of the cross, then we are all, you know, family. We have an understanding, even though we attend different rooms. Maybe our sanctuaries across this community are all just a church, and we're just in a different room of the church. And I've shared this at times to where there's been times we will reference when we pray for the churches of Janesville, is we don't pray for each one of our individual churches. And, well, I should say there's times that we might do that. But a lot of it is we pray for the church of Janesville, with many locations, to have a commonality, to have a unity, to have a oneness, because that's where the power of Christ is going to come through. So many years and so many years and so many years we've had churches that we continue to have like territorial boundaries that we want to keep and save, and this is us, and don't talk to my people, and I won't talk to your people, and things of that nature. And I believe that's been a really good trick of the enemy, don't you? To divide the kingdom of God, to have sublets of kingdoms of God, because we're all disjointed then. There's times that I think, even my own life physically, there's times I feel like I'm disjointed because sometimes the way I walk, you know. So anybody here that has joint problems, when you're disjointed, what happens? You're not walking right. You're not walking in totality of what the whole joints could work in. You walk and a joint slips out. You know, this one gives out. Whatever the case is. So for many, many years, for decades, centuries, you know, we've had disjointed, we've had subdivided little areas in our churches, in God's kingdom, and that's just what the devil wants. Because if he can keep us kind of confused to the point of, I just want to focus on just us and don't worry about anything else, there's not going to be a whole lot done for the kingdom of God. And then we get into our churches and we try to get into different programs and different things to help expand our churches. And we find that works for a time, but then it fizzles out. And when that fizzles out, we've got to go to the pastor and the board and the leaders and all. They've got to go to the drawing board again and go, okay, what can we do now to excite and enthusiasm in the people and draw some more people here so that we can build the church up? And they come up with another plan, another teaching, another series, another program, another this, another whatever. And that works for a time and a season, doesn't it? So here we are. We're at a time. And we got so much going on in the kingdom of God, don't we? And we hear so many stories and so many things of what God is about and what we can have. And we focus on this and we focus on that. We focus on healings. We focus on the abundant life. We focus on being blessed. We focus that we can bless our meals for strength and nourishment. We are thankful for what God is doing. And we prophesy and we do all of these things. But the last week back, remember when I shared in Galatians 6 and in 9, it said, Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. No matter how long our journey is with God, don't lose heart. You will reap what you've sowed. And if you've sowed things to the kingdom of God, if you sow things to God and what he's doing in your life, you will reap that harvest. Do you believe that? Well, you will. But then I continued reading after that, later on in the weeks and stuff. But it said, down in Galatians 6:14, this is Paul, he's sharing these things. But in 6:14, it says in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." New Living says, "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Because of that cross, or because of him on that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. And the world's interest in me has also died. And it was this, as you think about that, through Jesus' death on the cross, the world is dead to me, and I am dead to the world. The message comes back to the very simplistic but yet very monumental thing in God's design of things, that it's all about the cross. The cross is where it's at. The cross is the thing that starts the whole thing of what God has after that. And sometimes we are in the faith of so long that we sometimes forget about the cross on the hill. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And there on that cross, Jesus died and bled for the lost. And that lost was me. That lost was you. Because of the death of Jesus on the cross, the world is dead to me, and I need to be dead to the world. Now, we're going to get into that just a little bit here in a little bit, but I want to go back up, starting into that in verse 11, though. Because as he is writing this to the Galatians, look how it phrases it in verse 11. "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." Now, we find out that Paul wrote many letters. And many times he had a scribe or a secretary or somebody that would do the writings for him. And he did write some of his own. But a lot of times there was somebody scribing them for him. But here he is specifically saying, "See what with what large letters I have written to you." Now, not that the large letters, like it was a letter that had 25 pages in it. That's a large pile of paper. But it could have been like one page or two pages, but had large letters on it. Now, what do we do when we send a text that we want people to really take notice of something? And then you do that, and you find out that's not really a good thing to do because people feel like you're yelling at them, right? You know, it's like in a text, "Hey, Doug, how you doing? Capital H, capital A, capital, have a good day." And Doug's going, "My gosh, what's he yelling at me for?" And I was just wanting to bring emphasis to it. I never thought that I was yelling at somebody by just writing large letters. I just wanted them to notice them. Notice them. Well, okay, I can keep it lowercase, and I will just highlight it now with yellow. Would that be the same thing? Now you're yelling at me in yellow. No. So Paul is saying, this is very important, guys. And I'm writing these in large letters. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Many times we read the Word of God and we don't pay attention to the things that are being said. "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." Prior to this, I've already shared, you know, he probably used somebody to help him and write them for him to send them out. But he's wanting to emphasize what he's saying to these people. Then I drop down to 12 and 13. "As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. Do what I tell you to do, but don't follow what I do. But I'm going to tell you what's right. But what I tell you what's right, you do, but I don't have to follow it. Or if I did follow it, I don't have to follow all of it, but I just want you to follow what I'm telling you to do so that I can tell you how you're going to get close to that of God or the cross. But I don't want to be too close to the cross because I don't want to be associated with that and get chastised or something by that of the world, you know. Oh boy. So here we've got some of the Judaizers were emphasizing circumcision as a proof of holiness. We know that went out with that of Christ, right? Now, when we talk about circumcision anymore in the New Testament, it's not what it was back in the Old Testament of circumcision. The circumcision of the day of the New Testament is the circumcision of the heart. Because that's where it's all at. The heart. The heart. What is in your heart? Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. You got uck in your heart? You're going to speak uck. You got hatred in your heart? You're going to speak hatred. You got mean in your heart? You're going to speak mean. You got love in your heart? You're going to speak of love. If you got compassion in your heart, you're going to be a compassionate person to those around you. If you got forgiveness in your heart, you're going to forgive those around you. It's what's in your heart, circumcision of the heart. So as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would also compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution. This is in the verses there for the cross of Christ. And so we go into this understanding of these Judaizers. They were emphasizing some things. We find that in the early church, that there were those that taught a combination of God's grace and human effort. We kind of mix that. Do we think that we got any of that taking place today of in some of our churches or possible groups of denominational things that we got part of that of God and we got part of us of man, and we want to kind of put the two together and kind of correlate what we want to make people feel or believe or do to be that of the kingdom of God. In the early church, there were those that taught a combination of God's grace and human effort. Now, we know in God's Word, it already tells us if we are a child of God and we've learned through the Scriptures that your works are not going to do what? Save you. Your works do not put you into heaven. Many people out there are deceived with that to where they go, well, I believe I'm going to heaven. You got Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, no, but I'm a good person. Well, what? Define good to me. What is good? I mean, right now, with some of the things that take place in life, it would not take a whole lot to be a little different and a little better than that person out on the street to say, well, see how good I am? It's like, no, now you're comparing yourself to that. You can't compare yourself to those that are lost and say, well, I'm better than them because I've got this, or I've done this for that of God, and I go to church every Sunday, and that's I'm a good person. It's got to be deeper than that. But in the early church, they taught these combinations of grace and human effort. They taught that in order for a Christian to be truly right with God, and that's what I want you guys to be truly right with God. I want to be truly right with God, don't you and me and all? Is that a common thing? We want to be truly right with God. That you must conform to the Mosaic law, or that, and part of that was the circumcision, and also that it was promoted for a necessity for that of salvation. Man can twist so much of a standard to fit their style of life. And that's where we've got to guard ourselves, is to be careful of this, that we don't manipulate and turn and somehow convolutely take God's word and manipulate it to where it fits my lifestyle. And I don't have to change. What did I change? Instead of me changing, I changed God's word to fit me. What does God think about that? He's probably not too happy. I would venture to say he's very upset when we do that. Especially for those that know God's word truly, but they go, well, I don't want to share that with the people because they'll get upset and they may leave the church. And if they leave the church, we won't have giving. If we don't have giving, we won't have the lights on. And if that happens, we won't have church. And well, maybe your church should shut down anyway, if that's where you're at. If God is not your God, and man and those that put stuff in the plate is your God, then you better rethink a little things here and there. But we want to twist the standards of God to fit our style of life. People often choose certain principles and prohibitions to make that measure of faith with and what we want to follow. And we can get into a lot of those things, and I think you would be understanding of that. But I want to get back to 6:14, because that's where it hit me to look at. And I just, you just go back up to where the whole thing begins, or you begin with that chapter, or whatever the case might be. But I read that, and it's like, but God forbid that I should boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We find that the world is very full of enticements. Have anybody here ever been enticed by the world? We are confronted daily with the culture of the world that's around us. That's a given. We deal with the pressures of this world, the propaganda of this world, all of these things. But to gain victory over these forces, what we've got to do is ask for God's help. How many here have tried to battle the forces of this world and it had your lunch? Or it took a long time? Or you never really got out of the battle with the world? It just seemed like it was one thing to another to another. Just when you thought you had it, it's like, oh, here's another thing that pops up. We are confronted daily with the world's culture around us. We deal with the pressures of this world and the propaganda. To gain victory, we need to ask God for his help. And Paul had to do this as well. Now, we might jump into this. And Paul had a very interesting life, right? On what he started out as and what he turned out to be. You had a very exciting change in your life to what you started out from, to what you've turned out to be, that of a child of God, and what God has set you on his path. I don't know if any of us have been, struck blind or any of those things. But God has changed our lives. And it all has taken place because of the cross. And I want to cover a couple of things here. I think we can do this. As Paul was sharing here, and as we think about this, Paul had to do this as well, asking God for his help. In Romans 8, I'm going to turn back to Romans 8. So in Romans 8, I'm going to go to 12, and it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Wasn't it great to say that I must what? So that he can what? I must decrease so that who could increase? And we've got to do that every day. Every day. I mean, it's just not a one-time thing. It's almost like, our salvation, it's the one-time thing, yes. The sin of repentance and all, that was done at the cross, and as I forgive and ask for forgiveness, my sins were cleansed. But we will find that through our life, even as a Christian, we step into areas that are that of sin, that we just, it's there. And it's like we've got to go back and realize we've got to ask for forgiveness on those particular things in our daily life now. If we think that once and done is the deal that I will never sin again, I think there's a lie of the devil to tell you so that he can get you tripped up and to the point of get you back into some of those things. And like a dog returning back to its vomit. We don't do that, but there's things that we will, throughout life, just in generalities, that will happen. And when that happens, we know where to go for forgiveness. But anyway, for if we live according to the flesh, you will die. Romans 8:13. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? The sons of God. Life is a continuation of always, I don't say returning to the cross, but receiving what the cross did for us, of not just salvation, but that of cleansing of our sins, to where we cannot forget the cross. The church's message, I've shared this before, and I think it's, Jesus didn't come to heal us. but through Jesus we are healed. Jesus didn't come to give us, so to speak, abundance life here on this earth, but we can have abundant life here on this earth. But I know I'm going to have abundant life in heaven because of salvation and all that. But I know there's a lot of things in God's message that he is saying that my children, that it's for where you're at even today, I'm your God and I will provide and I will take care of you and I will do and have the things that you need to have a well life. But then we know there's the fallen world we live in, and that's when all these other things come in. But my God is still my God. The cross is still the cross of what it accomplished. The cross does not what? Lose its power. The blood of Christ does not lose its power. The same cleansing blood back on the cross is the same blood of today when somebody receives salvation. It's not gotten stronger, it's not gotten more potent, because all the power and all the potency of the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross is at the same level of potency and availability and what it can accomplish even in 2021. It doesn't get stronger with the time that it goes from the cross to where we're at. It's already the strongness of what God had put there in Jesus hanging on the cross. But we can't forget the cross and share that with people. And people ask us, how are you doing? What's going on? Oh, I'm great. I'm blessed. I'm perfect. I'm whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Well, that's great. How come, you know? And it's got to start with this. You're having a good life. How come? Because I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was dead in sin, lost in darkness, but until I received what Jesus did on the cross, and now because I've received that, I'm walking in life. I'm walking in light, life, abundance. And I would think they would want the same thing. But sometimes we invite people to different things and we want them to come out because we've got a super-duper program that we're doing in our church. Come out and see what we're doing. Come out and do this with us and this program and this teaching this life group and this group and that group, and we can do anything and everything for your family and your kids. Well, it's almost like a club where you could come in, and we got so many things happening. And sometimes we do this with an underlying belief, and a lot of belief I should say, that, well, let's get them to that of the church so that they can see what's going on. And maybe they'll become interested in the cross. And I'm as guilty as that. I'm not perfect. I've got to look at these things myself. And when I talk to somebody, I've got to proclaim, I've got to promote the cross before anything else that I share of that of God. Because God so loved the world. And we know what that says. So when people ask, how can you feel so much hope in this time that we're living in? I need to say it's because that Jesus died for me. Well, how did he die for you? He hung upon that cross. Really? Yes. Sometimes it's almost like those Judaizers and things. We sometimes, are we ashamed to share about the cross, or are we scared if we share about the cross and all of that, that they're going to turn and leave because they don't want to hear that, but they just want to hear the goody things that are taking place at that club. They only want to hear the positive, happy things that are happening at that club, whatever that case is. And if that's the case, we don't want to lose that. We want them to come, and hopefully just by osmosis, hopefully if they just come in the building and get involved in some of these things, that all of a sudden the cross is going to hit them over the head. And they're going to, oh, hey, wait a minute. What's this thing about the cross? Or we get into those type of studies, program, whatever you call it, program studies, lessons. And it's going well, but then when you get into the nitty-gritty of, have you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins? No. I don't know. I guess the emphasis of the message of today is, as this church has been here for 38 years, is this point, is that we've got to keep that focus upon that that's back on that wall, that of the cross, and what was accomplished upon the cross. And what was accomplished up on the cross is the very power of today that's going to continue to expand his church in this world. But the cross has to be that focus. I remember at one time, a long time back now, when I was given I was blessed to be able to bring a message while Pastor was here. And I was sitting out here, and I knew in a week or so that I was going to be having this message. And I was looking back there, and all of a sudden, you know what that cross looked at me, or looked like to me? It was like, it's the crosshairs. That I use that to put that of the enemy. Whatever's in my life, whatever is having a hold of me that's not of God, I can take that cross and zoom in on that. And when that thing that's infecting my life for the negative, when I put that in the cross, it's a bullseye. It's a sight, a line of sight to where I can hit that target to the point of saying, boom, you're out of here. Boom, you're out of my life. Boom, this has changed. Boom, you're gone. That's what, at that time, that I saw in my spirit of that cross as being like that of a sight of a gun. And that's what the cross does in our lives today. That's what the cross did for your life 10 years, 15, 20, 30, 2 weeks ago, whatever the time frame is, where you came to a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, is you said, Father, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. You died for me upon that cross. And my sins have been forgiven. Thank you. You are now Lord of my life. Lead me. Guide me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can follow you all the days of my life. So that I can be aware of when the enemy wants to sneak up on me and try to do things in my life. Because he truly wants to destroy you, even as a child of God. But as we look at this, therefore, we are indebted not to flesh, to live according to the flesh. And we're still what? Anybody here out of your flesh yet? I hope not. Because we're all still living in this fleshly body. And with that, there's a lot of things that come along with still those sensations, those thoughts. I mean, we all have our own mind to think, you know. We truly want to, as God's Word says, renew our minds to begin to have a Christ-like thinking. Think upon those things. But it's a challenge. But just because something's a challenge doesn't mean it's going to win. It's just it's a challenge. And so you deal with it, you put it down, you work with it, you ask God for sure to come and take care of these things, and it's through his power, and it's the power, power, power. Wonderful working of power in the blood, amen? Oh, I like that song. That chorus way back, you used to get in some of those church services back then, and it was how many powers could you say between here and there in that stanza? There is power, 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 power. You know, it's like, oh, you think you're rallying off like the disclaimer for a satellite contract or for your cell phone contract. Okay, no, charge the blood. You know, hey, I figure somebody's got to speak that fast for me to sign up for a cable TV or dish network or something, that there's got to be something sneaky in it. I don't want nothing in it. Talk slow to me, man. It's like that one guy came out of Oklahoma, and he gets up north, and people up here even talk fast. As he says, oh, slow down. My ears don't hear that fast. Slow down. Let's just have a conversation. But it was all those power, 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 power in the blood of the Lamb. There was power, power, power. And there is no power in the blood of the Lamb that hung up on that cross. Now I want to look at going back into that of Galatians. But I was wanting to share Romans there, but it put to death the deeds of the body that you shall live. And so it's an ongoing thing that we have to deal with. It's not a one and done deal. You know what? If it was probably a one and done deal, it could be a boring life. I don't know, but it's challenging at times, this life, isn't it? But I think it's those times of challenging in this time with our lives that we again see the power of God and his love for us. And his care for us. So if I go to Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Where did he give himself for me at? On the cross. the cross. We've been crucified with him. We've also been raised with him. Amen? You can go that in Romans 6, 5, but we have been raised with him. Just stay where you're at. I'm going to try to run through this quickly. For in Romans 6, 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of death, certainly we also will be in the likeness of his resurrection. We will rise, because why? Our Lord and Savior rose from the dead. Amen. Easter, the tomb is empty. If he rose from the dead, don't you think we're going to rise from the dead as well? Amen. We find out that we have been reconciled with God. Reconciled with God. 2 Corinthians 5:19. 5:19 there, it says this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, not reckoning their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We've been reconciled back to that of God because of being healed, because somebody prophesied over us, because we attended a super-duper class or something in this church. We've been reconciled back to him, and it all started back on the cross. The cross, the cross. 8:29 in Romans. You can write this down, and I'll send this out on the... Hopefully I don't overburden you when I send out the link to the message on text and all that, but you can look at it again. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What we're seeing here as we look at the Galatians 2:20 is this, that as he is sharing here, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in that of the Son of God. And so we grow, we are free to grow in the likeness of Christ, Romans 8:29. In our daily life, we have the resurrection power. Ephesians 1:19 will share that with you. But we do have the resurrection power. We will live. Colossians 1:27, that we are no longer alone, but that Christ lives in us. So many times people in this life, have you ever come across people that they're alone? I just don't have no one. Oh my gosh, you got a family, you've got this, you got that, or whatever the case might be. Isn't it crazy that people can have and be around so many people, even in jobs and things, and you ask them, how are you doing? And they would say, I feel like I'm by myself. It's like, wow, you got all this around you. But it's where they're at internally. It's where they're at inside. They're empty inside. They're lost. And we see all the peripheral things. We see all these, and I see you, and I'd say, well, I'm not by myself. Look, there's people here. But if I would look at myself internally and go, but I feel empty. I feel that I'm not satisfied. And we've heard stories of that, of people of great wealth, great notoriety, great things in their life. And you get to a really hard, just an easy or hard conversation with them. And sometimes they actually break down to the point of saying, I'm lonely. I have nothing. And you've got so much in material things. But that just goes to help us understand, material things will not satisfy you for a very long time, because you will get tired of those and want something more. Or you'll want to upgrade to this or upgrade to that or whatever the case might be, because materially I just need to be satisfied through my things. But it's like when they really look at that, but they go inside, I'm lost. I'm empty. I'm empty. Anybody ever heard somebody say that? I'm empty inside. Well, that's a great time to be filled with that of Christ. Let me tell you about the cross. And let me tell you about what Jesus did for me, for you, for everyone. And let him be able to fill. And I know that I know that I know that he will fill that emptiness for you if you will allow him. The cross. Christ lives in us. And then closing, the last scripture here is Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Anybody here got the flesh that still has passions and desires still hanging on you? I take it by the show of no hands, everybody's dealing with it. 5:24. Wow. 5:24. And those who are Christ, are you his? I'm his. Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. 26, let us not become conceited and provoking one another, envying one another. It's a whole change of life and lifestyle. We find here in verse 24 of Galatians 5, to accept Christ as our Savior, we need to turn from our sins. The cross did that for us. The cross. My sins have been nailed to the cross. I've had things where pastors and youth groups and children's and stuff, they'll take, you know, something and write on a post-it note and they'll have a cross and go put it on the cross. It's like nailing it to the cross. Our sins, our hurts, our whatever. It's not sin sometimes, it's just the hurts. And if you're not dealing with sin, you probably could be dealing with hurt. Take it and it can be put upon that cross that Christ hung on and died for us. On that cross. The cross is so, so powerful. To accept Christ as our Savior, we need to turn from our sins, having our sins nailed on the cross. This doesn't mean, however, that we will never have traces of sin or evil desires again. As Christians, we will have the capacity to sin. Can you believe that? As a Christian, you have the capacity to sin. Yes, you do. But we've been set free from the power of sin. See, there's something about it. There's a power in sin, and there's a point in time where we do sin, but I know where the power I got comes from, that of Christ, Jesus, His blood, the power of the cross, and He hanging on the cross, and the resurrection, and I'm a Christ child, and we can just go into all these things. And it's that point where sin has no power over me. It might happen, but I can turn it to God, or I can be guided away from it, or I can be led away by that of the Holy Spirit to say, caution, warning, look out, don't do, you did, ask for forgiveness. Whatever it might be. But as Christians, we have that capacity to sin, but we have been set free from that power of sin. See, the power of sin is this. When sin holds you where it's got you, that's the power that it has over you. And if we lay and stay in sin, then the power of that sin has got you right where you want to be. But that of the blood of Christ cleansing us of our sins, repent from that. It what? It doesn't just cover your sin. It just doesn't do a little bit of whiteout on your sin. It washes it white as snow. It's not just covered. His blood doesn't just cover your sin. His blood washes your sin. There's a difference there, my friends. There's a difference from being covered to being washed clean. I've always tried, you know, when something happens in your clothes and you just try to get something, you just try to blot that out and try to cover it up with something. Another few days later, or put it through the wash again, and that little color thing, that dye will come out, and then there's that stain again. It's like, oh man, now I got to cover back up again, you know. And that's what the enemy would like you to think. But I'm going to tell you, the sin and things that happened upon you, they, with Christ in your life as a child of God, the sin has no power because your power is that of Christ and His power of the blood and the blood that was shed on the cross. And after that, let's have a program. Let's do some teachings. Let's have a class. That's good, but let's know that the cross is the beginning of everything. From then on, you've got a changed life. Your life doesn't change just because you attend a class. Your life doesn't change just because you go to church on Sunday. Your life doesn't change just because you put money in the offering or become a member of a church or give to a cause out in the community that's a good cause. Your life changes when you come to the cross. Amen? I hope you're getting this. Woo! Life changes at the cross, at the foot of the cross. But the good thing is that cross is vacant. Because my Lord lives. They thought they had Him hung on the cross. Satan thought he had won the victory. But he didn't know the full story. He didn't know what God had up his sleeve. And how God says, oh, I will let my son hang on the cross for you, you, and you. But he will not stay up on that cross. He will not stay in that grave. Jesus shared a lot of that to the people around him, but they just don't understand that. They thought, this guy's crazy. No, he knew what he was talking about because he was God in the flesh. He was God incarnated in the flesh, telling the people, this is what's going to happen. You can believe it or you don't have to believe it, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen. What God is going to do doesn't depend upon what you think or believe. It's going to be done because it's of what? God. And I want to tend to believe that what God says, I'm going to follow him. Amen. I'm going to stay close to him. Oh, Father of victory in Jesus. As Christians, we'll have the capacity to sin, but we will be set free from the power of sin and no longer have to give in to it. Daily we may need to turn to God's control to handle a tendency of sin, sinful tendencies. We need to crucify them daily if we need to. Draw on the power of the Spirit to overcome them. And that's what it's all about, the power. Once you know you've got power, then you know you'll have victory. If you're going into a battle and you think you've got the greatest arsenal, you've got the greatest weapons, you've been trained the greatest, you know everything, you've got even intelligence of what the enemy is going to be doing, you know where they're hiding, you're going to come in from the other side, you've got that information, you're going to say, I'm going to have the victory. And you go into that battle already proclaiming, I'm going to have victory and we're going to overrun that stronghold. Y'all have a stronghold in your life right now. I got a stronghold in my life right now. When it comes up or the Spirit says this, then I've got to know that the power that I've got to deal with that is through that of Christ, the Holy Spirit in us, that dunamis power, but it's to know those things are there and know how to respond. Amen. Draw daily on the control of God in your life. Things that are in your life that are out of sin, crucify them daily. Draw on the power of the Spirit to overcome. There's nothing that the enemy can put on your life that with the help of God that you cannot overcome. You can't overcome them on your own, I know that. You try to do it on your own, and the devil will keep you right where you're at in that battle, in that trench warfare for days, weeks, months, years, if that's where you want to fight the devil on your own power. But once I step over that and say, it's not by my spirit, but it's by that of God's spirit. It's not because of my power, but it's because of his power. It's not because of my ability, it's because of his ability in me, because I know that I know that I know I am a child of God. Are you a child of God? You got that power. You've got that power. Just call upon it. Step back and let go. Step back. Let go and let God. Isn't that the thing they say? You know, let go and let God. Many times I want to hold on. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to take care of this one way or the other. I'm going to deal with this. I just need to set the doggone thing down, let go of it, and say, God, it is yours. I'm going to rest in your power. I'm going to rest in your presence. And you're going to do my battles for that, whatever it is. And I'm going to be on this side of the battle, praising you and worshiping you and thanking you. And then, oh, lo and behold, I look over there and it's like, whew, ooh, that battle's gone. The Lord took care of it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Don't forget the cross. Don't forget the cross. It's where this church has been. It's because of the cross. It's where we're going. It's because of the cross. We got to keep our focus on that. And all these other things will come along with it and be blessed, and we will have what God wants us to have. Amen. Father, I thank you and I praise you and I love you. Thank you for your leading. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for being there for all of us, Lord, at the times that we need you. And then you're there a lot of times, Lord, when we don't even think about you and we come out of a situation better than what we thought, but it's because you're there with us. Your love, your grace, and your mercy. I just pray, Lord, that we would take a closer understanding or just keep it on our forefronts of thoughts, Lord, of what was accomplished upon the cross and what Jesus did for us. And our sins were nailed to the cross. Our sins were forgiven because of the cross. Our power, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, where we know where we have eternity prepared. But yet, Lord, while we're here on this place, we're going to do all we can to serve you and do what you have asked us or called us to do. Not under our own power, but by that of your power working in us. Bless each one here, I ask today. And in Jesus' name, amen and amen.